Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Nun Amud Aleph, three lines down. Today's Gemara, which discusses our Mishnah and expands on the argument between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim, is one of the most difficult sugyot in Shas. We are going to follow Rashi's interpretation of the sugya, not necessarily because it's the simplest or best explanation of the sugya, but because Rashi is a Rosh HaMidabrim B'chol Makom. He's always the first of the Rishonim that everybody looks at. Never we're going to explain the Gemara according to Rashi. Now, the question, according to Rashi, that the Gemara is trying to deal with is one question over here on this Amud, and then another question that is on the second Amud. And that is that in the Mishnah describes the Chachamim's position with regards to Ona'ah. If you remember, the Mishnah broke Ona'ah up into three different categories, which we will see again at the end of today's daf. There was pachot mishtut, less than 1/6. There is a shtut, 1/6. And then above a shtut, greater than 1/6. The Mishnah itself really only dealt with one of those three options, which is a shtut. The Mishnah describes ona'ah shtut lemekach. So in that scenario, we know what the position of the Chachamim is, that by shtut lemekach, the buyer, and we're going to use the buyer as the example in all these cases, technically, it would also be true of the seller if it was an undercharge, but we're going to discuss an overcharge, which is the more likely scenario in the way that the Gemara describes it over here. And that is that if the buyer is overcharged by 1/6, then he has the opportunity to retract the sale, renege on the sale, for up to the amount of time, kedei shiyareh, the amount of time that it takes for him to go out and discover the real pricing here, which is shiareh letagar o lekrovo, where he can show it to a professional or to his relative that will give him the real sense of price, and then he can go back and tell the merchant that he was overcharged in that scenario. What exactly will happen in the scenario of a sixth is actually a machloket tanaim that we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf and will be at the end of today's daf as to whether, in the case of exactly a sixth, then the sale stands and you just have to return the excess amount. Or do we say that the person who was overcharged over here has the right then to decide whether to uphold the transaction and get a refund on the excess amount he was charged, or to eliminate the transaction completely? It's a machloka between Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rabbi Natan at the end of today's daf. But that's all that the Mishnah addressed, that exact case of a shtut. The problem is that there are two other scenarios, which are probably more likely scenarios, because the fact that you're going to fall exactly on 1/6 is less likely of an outcome. And therefore, the Gemara here poses a question. It's the first question now, which is, Ibailu, pachod mishtut. When it is one less than 1/6, the overcharging, then the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, la'altar havi mechila, is immediately that we forgive the overcharging, the transaction is sealed, and there's nothing to do at all? Or there's still an opportunity for the buyer to go back out to the marketplace, check the price, and then come back and not necessarily annul the transaction, but at least get refunded the amount that he was overcharged. So the question of the Gemara is, in less than a sixth, how do we deal with that scenario? Do we say that less than a sixth is so insignificant, or is considered to be normal variations in the pricing, and therefore we would say the altar having mechila, that it's an immediate forgiveness and the transaction stands as it is? Both the Sefer Chinuch, the Minchat Chinuch, and many of the Rishonim deal with what exactly the meaning of the altar having mechila. Does that mean just as far as the transaction concerned, it is upheld, but there's still an Iser Ona'ah, meaning that the violation of Ona'ah takes place if you overcharge, irrespective of the amount, even if it's less than a sixth. It's just in that case, the transaction stands anyway. Or do we say that the Mechila of less than a sixth is considered to be normal market variations, and therefore there's not even a violation of the Iser Ona'ah? So the Sefer Chinuch, Minchat Chinuch debate those issues. The Ramban seems to side heavily with the idea that anything over a pruta is considered to be a violation of the Iser Ona'ah, no matter how small the overcharging is. The question that we're dealing here with are simply Choshen Mishpat issues. Does the sale stand or does the sale not stand? Notwithstanding that, there is one possibility that in less than a sixth, the transaction is immediately closed, and that we assume that there's forgiveness of that excess charge, or it's considered to be normal market variations. The other possibility is that you have kedei sheyareh l'tagar l'kovo. You have the ability to show it either to a professional or to a relative to check the pricing, and then you can, if you find out in that time period, you can get a refund for the overcharging. If it extends beyond that period of time, then the sale is finalized. The Gemara will ask on Amud Bet the exact same question with regards to above a sixth. And there the Gemara says, Ibailu bitul mekach. Bitul mekach is when you charge more than a sixth over, where there's an annulment of the transaction. How much time do you have to annul the transaction? Le'olam chozer? Is that forever? You have unlimited amount of time when the overcharging is so high, meaning above a sixth. And anytime you find out about it, you can come back and know the transaction. Oh, Dilma b'chdei sheyareh l'tagar l'krovo. Or is it limited to the possibility of you showing it to a professional or to a relative? And once you have done that, then the deal is sealed, the sale is over, if you did not make a claim to annul the transaction within that period of time. So the Gemara's question deals with both above a sixth and below a sixth. What is the window of opportunity that the person has either to get the excess refunded in less than a sixth, or in the case of greater than a sixth, the ability to annul the transaction? What is that window of opportunity? And the Gemara says the Mishnah doesn't address it, and we want to know what that window of opportunity is. The Gemara then goes on to look at the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon in the Mishnah, and through that try to deduce what is the position of the Chachamim. Now, the difficulty in the Gemara is that the Gemara often switches underlying assumptions. Those assumptions are what would be the normal trade-offs that people would make. Sometimes they would like to get a larger window of overcharging. Sometimes they would like to get a larger time period in which they could renege on the sale. Those trade-offs, the Gemara shifts around according to Rashi, and therefore it comes up with different possibilities. And what the Gemara in the end is doing is searching for the possibility of all different forms of permutations of what the position of the Chachamim is. Or up front, the Gemara asks both times when they poses this question, well, why is there even a question over here? If by a shtut, if by a sixth, the window of opportunity to back out of the deal is kedei sheyareh, the tagar, or the krovo, then in the case of pachot mishtut, or greater than a shtut, if you say that it's also kedei sheyareh, the tagar, or the krovo, you say it's the same window of opportunity, then what is the difference between less than a sixth, and greater than a sixth? They all have the same opportunity to back out of the deal. To that, the Gemara says that's not a foregone conclusion, that can't be the way to explain it, because we can differentiate. And you'll see that here on the top of Nun, after the question of about, Ibailu pachot mishtut rabanan, la altar havi mechila, is it immediately that the sale is concluded? O b'chdei sheyar ela tagar l'krovo, ve'im tim salomar, if you want to suggest, b'chdei sheyar ela tagar o l'krovo, that it's the amount of time that it takes for him to go and show it to an expert or his relative, ma'ika ben shtut, l'pachot mishtut. What's the difference then between less than a shtut and a shtut itself, and one-sixth itself? Ika, there is a difference. De'ilu shtut, when it comes to one-sixth, yado al elyona. He has the upper hand to decide the outcome of the situation, which is, ratzah chuzer, ratzah kune umachzir ona. He has the right to annul the transaction, or he has the right to uphold the transaction and demand a refund for the overcharged amount. Vilo pachot mishtut, when it comes to less than a sixth, kana umachzir auna'a. There, the transaction is automatically sealed, and he just has to return the excess amount. So the Gemara says that it's not a foregone conclusion that they cannot be the same window of opportunity, because there will be a difference between less than a shtut and a shtut, even if they have the same window of opportunity to retract the sale. And that is that in the case of a shtut, the buyer has the upper hand because he was overcharged. This is akin to the position of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that we'll see in a bright later in today's daf. And in that case, he has the right or the option to decide what happens now. He can either annul the transaction, or he can uphold the transaction and demand a refund for the overcharging. On the other hand, when it's less than a sixth overcharging, if you give him that same window opportunity, he'll have only one option, which is that the sale will stand and he will get a refund for the excess amount. So that doesn't automatically force us to suggest the opinion of the Chachamim goes one way or the other. The same is true on Nun on Bet with regards to the question that is posed there. The Gemara asks the same question. Now, as I mentioned before, by the time we get there in the Gemara, there will be different assumptions than what we're speaking about in the Gemara in the first part of the daf, but over there too. After the Gemara asks the question of Yibaylu, Bito Mekach L'Rabanan, Nolam Chuzer, Odilma Bichdei Shiyar El Tagar L'Kovo, what is the window of opportunity for a retraction with regards to greater than a sixth? Is it forever you have the right to retract it, or is it only in the same window of opportunity as a Shtut? And the Gemara again asks the simple question, Im Tim Salomar Bichdei Shiyar El Tagar L'Kovo, if you say that the window of opportunity for retraction is the same by greater than a sixth as it is with a sixth, Ma'ika ben Shtut, the letter of Shtut. What is the difference between a sixth itself and greater than a sixth? Gemara answers here, Ika. There is a difference. The Ilu Shtut, by a Shtut 1/6, Mishinat ene Choser. The person who was overcharged or undercharged, meaning the person who was cheated, he has the right to back out of the transaction or to decide what happens. V'yilu yeter al shtut, when it's more than a sixth, shnehem chuzrim. Both parties have the right of retraction and the right to annul the transaction. So again there, even if the window of opportunity is seen to be the same, which is kadesh shere l'tagar l'kovo, there will be a difference in those two positions, which is, number one, in the case of a shtut, the person who was aggrieved has the right to decide what happens with the transaction. Whereas when it's greater than a sixth, either one of the parties has a right of annulment. And the reason is because Tosfot explains that the price is so egregious, it's so out of the market, that it's as if the transaction never really went through. Or it's a mekach ta'ut from both parties, and therefore either party can annul the transaction given how egregious the price is. So now what you see here is that the Gemara has a possibility, both with less than a shtut and greater than a shtut, for the Chachamim's position to be either Kadesh Yer'eh L'Tagar L'Krovo, that's in both cases, less than a sixth, you also have the possibility that it's Mechila L'Alter, immediately the transaction is done, and greater than a sixth, you also have the other possibility, which is that L'Olam Chuzer, you can always annul the transaction. And the Gemara, if we go back to the Amud Aleph, says now, my, what is the din? The Gemara now will go through trying to prove which side is true. What the Gemara in the end will want to do, or is going to try to do, is show you that both possibilities are plausible in the explanation of the Machloki between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon. And whatever you think their position is with less than a sixth will not influence what their position is with greater than a sixth. And so the Gemara will move around its assumptions in order to show you that all those permutations are possible. You can come up with any of the possibilities that we've offered and any different permutation of less than a sixth and above a sixth, and they are all possible to explain within our Mishnah. And so that's what the Gemara is going to do here first. And then in the end, it will go back and try to do it again, taking away some of the more difficult assumptions that it's made along the way. So now the Gemara is saying, my, what is the din with regards to less than a shtut? Where it says, Tashma, let us go look at our Mishnah. Chazru l'divrei chachamim. They went back to the position of the chachamim. If you remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon said that instead of un'ah being shtut, he said it was a shlish, 1/3. So the chachamim's threshold for un'ah is 1/6. The threshold for Rabbi Tarfon is 1/3. In the Mishnah, the Tagrei Lod were very excited when Rabbi Tarfon offered them the threshold to be much higher, be 1/3 instead of 1/6. But then Rabbi Tarfon came along and said, Kol Hayom, that you have all day to retract the sale. When he did that, they said, we're not so interested in the higher threshold with the Kol Hayom. We'd like to go back to the Chachamim. And that's what the Gemara is quoting over here. The Chazru, the Divrei Chachamim. They went back to the Chachamim's position. Savrua, the underlying assumption here of the Gemara is, Pachot Mishlish the Rabbi Tarfon, Ki Pachot Mishtut the Rabbanan Dami. That less than one third for Rabbi Tarfon is identical to less than one sixth of the Rabbanan. So that whatever the Rabbanan think about less than one sixth, that's what Rabbi Tarfon would think about when it comes to less than one third. So then, Iyamart, if you say Bishlama, it would make sense that Pachot Mishtut the Rabbanan, less than a sixth for the Rabbanan, Bichdei She'areh LeTagar Ole Krovo, the amount of time that they offered was the opportunity to show it to a relative or to an expert, Ule Rabbi Tarfon Kol Hayom, and for Rabbi Tarfon, it was all day, Mishum Hachi Chazru. That's why the merchants in Lod wanted to go back to the original position of the Chachamim. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that if in the original state, what ended up happening was that the Chachamim believed that when it came to less than one-sixth, that you had the right to renege or back out of that deal when it was Kadesh Yareh, the Tagar, or the Krovo. Then at Ashtut, or even at Yeter al-Ashtut, there also you had the opportunity B'Kadesh Yareh. But the difference being that with less than a Shtut, Kadesh Yareh allowed for a refunding of the excess amount. A sixth or above a sixth would allow for a complete annulment of the deal. But in this scenario, all of the cases, the Rabbanan believe that you have a window of opportunity, Kadesh Yareh, the Tagar, or the Krovo. Then along comes Rabbi Tarfon and says that the threshold is not one-sixth, but rather one-third. So now, in that scenario, the Tagrei Lod say this is much better for us, because then under a sixth, and then all the way from a sixth up to one-third, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is equivalent to the Chachamim's position of Pachot Mishtut. That means that under one-third for Rabbi Tarfon is equivalent to the under one-sixth of the Chachamim, and that means that Kadesh Yareh LeTagar LeKrovo, the amount of time to show it to the expert or the relative, and in that case, you would have the right not to annul the transaction, but to just refund the excess amount, but have the sale be final. So they said, we'd much rather Rabbi Tarfon, who gives us this bigger window of opportunity, be called less than a third, which is bigger than the window the Chachamim called Pachot Mishtut, and therefore they were happy about the scenario. But then, all of a sudden, Rabbi Tarfon says to them, well, I didn't mean less than a one-third is equivalent to the Chachamim's less than one-sixth. They say, B'Kadesh Yareh LeTagar LeKrovo. I say, Kol Hayom, that you have the right of retraction for the entire day. So now, you have a situation in which Rabbi Tarfon's standing or position is not so appealing. And that's why the Tagrei Lod wanted to go back to the Chachamim's position. If we break it down into parts, for now, the Chachamim, Pachot Mishtut, less than one-sixth according to the Chachamim, the window of opportunity to ask for the excess charge back is Kadesh Yareh LeTagar Ole Krovo. For Rabbi Tarfon, under a sixth, you have the same din, which is that you can ask for a refund, but there you have a right to ask for that refund, Kol Hayom. So therefore, it's a disadvantage now, under a sixth for Rabbi Tarfon, vis-a-vis the Chachamim. Between at a sixth itself, the Chachamim also say that it's Kadesh Yareh LeTagaru Krovo. That's the limit on which you're allowed to renege on the deal or decide whether you want to annul the transaction or get a refund. But for Rabbi Tarfon now, that is Kol Hayom. That's the entire day. So now, even though according to Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of a sixth, that's still below the threshold for Ona'ah of one-third, and therefore, if they had all day to renege on it, even if they were able to recant on the transaction, they wouldn't be able to cancel the transaction, they would just get a refund for the excess amount. So, in one sense, Rabbi Tarfon disadvantaged them because he gave a longer window of opportunity to back out of the deal. The other side, he did advantage the Tagrim, which is that they have a right to uphold the transaction and just refund the excess amount. Now, above a sixth for the Chachamim is again Kadesh Yareh LeTagar LeKrovo, the amount of time that you would show it to a friend, a relative, or an expert. And then if he finds out about it, he can renege on the entirety of the deal. On the other hand, for Rebbe Tarfon, at least from 1/6 up to 1/3, which is his threshold for Ona'ah, over there he believes, number one, that you have a right of retraction kol hayom, all day long, and in that case, it would still be under the threshold of Ona'ah from him of 1/3, and therefore the transaction would stand, and he would just have to give back the excess charge. So basically, for Rebbe Tarfon, he has advantaged them in the case of 1/6 up to 1/3. He's advantaged the Tagrei Lod by giving them the opportunity to have the sale be finalized and only have to rebate the excess amount. In both of those cases, according to the Chachamim, if the buyer so chooses, he can have the deal retracted above a 6 for sure. And even at a 6, he might have the right to annul the transaction. On the other hand, he disadvantaged them in those two situations because he gave them all day for the buyer to retract the sale, versus the Chachamim only gave him Kadesh Shireh, the Tagar, Ule Krova. And under a 6, over there, he only disadvantaged them, because both the Chachamim and Rebbe Tarfon believed that there you can only get a refund of the excess amount, but Rebbe Tarfon said that you have all day to do that, versus the Chachamim who said Kadesh Shireh Tagar Ule Krova. And so what the Tagrei Lod basically said to Rebbe Tarfon is, thanks, but no thanks. And that is because, as Rashi says over here, Noach Lehem Shetei Chazara B'toch Kadesh Shireh, they'd much rather have the shorter window of opportunity to renege on the deal. Vimlo bak deshi or havia mechilo. And if the buyer doesn't come back within that window, that the transaction would be locked. Mikana umachzir ona'a. Then the advantage that Rebbe Tarfon offered them, which is the fact that in the cases of 1/6 and the case of above a 6 to a 3rd, where he says that the transaction is locked, but you just have to refund the excess amount. But they still have the window of opportunity all day. And in essence, what they're saying is, the larger window of opportunity for the buyer to come back and make the claim is not worth it for them, vis-a-vis the advantage that they gain by the fact that they can now not have the transaction annulled, but only have to refund the excess amount. So what they are saying in this trade-off is, they'd rather have a shorter window of opportunity for the buyer to renege, because that's the most important thing to them. As soon as the buyer is locked into the transaction, that's what they want. They want that as fast as possible, and they want the transaction to be closed so that the buyer can't walk away from the transaction. Even if you give the buyer more opportunity, and the trade-off would be that they get to lock the transaction but have to refund the excess amount, they prefer that that was not the case, because they put a premium on the shorter duration for the buyer to walk away from the transaction than they do on the ability to have it just be a refund of the excess amount rather than a complete annulment of the sale. And that's what the Gemara says here. That's why Mishum Hachi Chazru. That's what was the impetus for them backing out of the transaction. Ilamart, but if you say, according to the Chachamim, Bachot Mishtut Rabbanan, the Alter Havi Mechila, that less than a shtut, immediately the transaction is completed, and therefore, according to Rebbe Tarfon, he would have said the same thing as the Chachamim, which is, the Rebbe Tarfon, Nami the Alter Havi Mechila, and then for Rebbe Tarfon, the same thing would be true, which is that less than a 1/3 would be immediately a locked-in transaction. Then, Amai Chazru. Why would they want to renege or back out of the deal? Bid Rebbe Tarfon Nechaluhu Tfei. They'd much rather have Rebbe Tarfon as the position, because Demai the Geshavu Rabbanan Kashavalu Ona'ah, because what the Rabbanan call Ona'ah, the Rebbe Tarfon have a Mechila. According to Rebbe Tarfon, would be considered Mechila, an immediate closing of the transaction. So in this case, according to the Chachamim, less than a 6 would be an immediate closing of the transaction. At a 6, it'd be classified as Ona'ah. From more than a 6, it'd also be classified as Ona'ah or Bito Mekach. And so therefore, in those two cases, there's a possibility of a complete annulment of the sale. Plus, you have a window of opportunity to back out of the sale, Kadesh Shireh Tagar Ule Krovo. But for Rebbe Tarfon, in the under a 6, he's the same as the Chachamim, which is it's Mechila La'alter. But for him, at a 6, and from a 6 all the way up to a 3rd, is also Mechila La'alter. It's an immediate completion of the transaction. If that is the case, then why would they want to choose the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon now widens the window of opportunity for which it will be considered a complete and final sale. Chachamim says that's only true up to a sixth. Rabbi Tarfon says that's all the way up to a third. It's that way as well. And so then they've given a huge advantage by following Rabbi Tarfon, and there's no reason for them to go back to the position of the Chachamim. From this, the Gemara wants to prove that the Chachamim's position of less than a sixth must be that the window of opportunity that you have to retract the sale is Kadei Shereh the Tagar Ole Krovo. And therefore, it would make sense why at first they were excited about Rabbi Tarfon's proposition, and then when they found out it was Kolayom, they wanted to go back to the Chachamim. But if you explain the Chachamim's position that it is Mechila La'altar, that it's an immediately finalized transaction, and for Rabbi Tarfon, that would be the same under a third, then you're always more advantaged by Rabbi Tarfon. And where Rabbi Tarfon said Kol Hayom, that was referring to above a shlish and more, one third or more than one third. Therefore, that would make it difficult to understand why they wanted to go back to the position of the Chachamim. So now the Gemara is basically locked into saying that under a sixth, the Chachamim must believe that it is Kadesh Shereh the Tagar the Kroval. And the Gemara doesn't want to be locked into that. The Gemara wants to show you that either possibility is plausible. And therefore now the Gemara starts to change the underlying assumptions. You remember before the Gemara said Savrua. Savrua is always a word that's used in the Gemara to propose an assumption that the Gemara will later reject. The assumption we made was that Pachot Mishtut, less than one-sixth for the Chachamim, is the same or identical to less than one-third for Rabbi Tarfon. So here now, the Gemara is going to undermine that assumption and says, maybe you don't have to say that. Which is, Misavart, do you really have to think, Pachot Mishlish the Rabbi Tarfon, Ki Pachot Mishtut the Rabbanan Dami, that one-third for Rabbi Tarfon, or under one-third for Rabbi Tarfon, is identical to under one-sixth for the Chachamim? No, no, you don't have to say that. Mishtut v'ad shlish the Rabbi Tarfon, Kishtut atzma the Rabbanan. From one-sixth unto one-third, for Rabbi Tarfon is identical to the sixth of the Rabbanon Dami. That is what it's similar. So now what the Gemara now is doing is redividing the position of Rabbi Tarfon. And they're saying now that less than one-sixth for the Chachamim is similar to Rabbi Tarfon, and they both have the same position when it comes to Pachot Mishtut. But then for the Chachamim at a Shtut, Rabbi Tarfon says that the position of the Chachamim at one-sixth is my position all the way from one-sixth up until one-third. And then, more than one-sixth is equivalent to Rabbi Tarfon's position of Yeter al-Shlish, above one-third. So what we're saying now is that under a sixth for the Chachamim and under a sixth for Rabbi Tarfon are identical. Above a third for a Chachamim and above a third for Rabbi Tarfon are identical. The difference between them is in that interim or the space between those two numbers. For Rabbi Tarfon, all the way from one-sixth until one-third, is classified as similarly or exactly the way the Chachamim classify one-sixth, the middle position of Ona'ah. Now, by doing this, the Gemara now can explain why under a Shtut can also be La'alter Mechila. That's what the Gemara says. Ihachi. So now, if that's the case, by Samai Samchu Mi'ikara, what were they happy about originally? Because in this case, if the shtut for the Chachamim is equal to a shtut at shlish for Rabbi Tarfon, then what were they happy about originally? Tifshot, you must conclude here that this is what they were happy about. The mitbito mekach the Rabbanan v'olam chuzer. It must be that above a six for the Chachamim, you can always retract the deal. And therefore, kevin damarlu Rabbi Tarfon havia ona'ah, when Rabbi Tarfon came along and said to them, listen, that above a sixth all the way to a third has the same classification as Ona'ah, Samchu, then they got really excited. And that is because for the Chachamim, above a sixth, now the Gemara is assuming, is Lo'olam Chuzer. You have a right of retraction. The buyer has this right of retraction after he was overcharged to back out of the deal forever. Whereas for Rabbi Tarfon, from one-sixth into one-third is classified as Ona'ah. And the assumption of the Tagrei Lod was that Rabbi Tarfon was saying that, like the Chachamim's shtut, the Chachamim's sixth, which is Ona'ah, they say that it's Kadei Shereh Tagar Ole Krovo. And Rabbi Tarfon would say that same window for Mishtut Ad Shlish. So that means now, all the way from one-sixth until one-third, you have a much bigger advantage by following the position of Rabbi Tarfon. According to the Chachamim, as soon as you cross over the threshold of a sixth, then it's bittul mekach, the transaction can be annulled forever. Whereas for Rabbi Tarfon, at least from one-third until one-sixth until one-third, you have a right to come back and discuss the transaction, whether that means you can annul it or ask for a refund. But that window of opportunity is limited. It has a limited window. And once that window passes, the transaction is locked in. So now we understand why they liked Rabbi Tarfon so much. But then, when Rabbi Tarfon informed them, that really window of opportunity that he spoke about was all day, chazru. They backed out of it. Now, the reason being is because for Yeter al Shtut, for the Rabbanan, that was bittul mekach. There the transaction's annulled, and the olam chozer. And you can back out of the transaction forever. On the other hand, for Rabbi Tarfon, mishtut, from one-sixth all the way up to one-third, you have it called ona'ah. And for ona'ah, again, the aggrieved party has the right to choose what happens. But until this point in time, we thought it was kadesh yarela tagar lukovo. Now Rabbi Tarfon informs them that it's kolayom. It's all day long that they have a right of retraction. And here come the underlying assumptions, which the Gemara again will later reverse. But the underlying assumption now is, number one, all day is eternity. For the Tagrim, that having the ability to reverse the transaction or renege on the transaction all day is the same as saying that you have forever to renege on the transaction. And so that advantage that Rabbi Tarfon gave them between Olam Chozer versus all day, that's a Hana Purta. It's very little benefit. On the other hand, he is hurting them at the level of a Shtut, at one-sixth exactly. And that is because for the Chachamim, one Shtut is called Ona'ah. Shtut, at a sixth exactly, that's called Ona'ah. And Ona'ah is Kadesh Yireh L'Tagar L'Krovot. That's what we saw in the Mishnah for the Chachamim. On the other hand, for Rabbi Tarfon now, for one-sixth all the way up to one-third, it's all classified as Ona'ah, which means that you have a right of reversal all day. And so now he's disadvantaged them with regards to the one-sixth exactly. And that is because according to the Chachamim, at exactly one-sixth, then you have a right of retraction only up to Kadesh Yareh L'Tagar L'Krovot. Whereas for Rabbi Tarfon, you have a right of retraction now all day. So now he disadvantaged them with regards to a sixth exactly. So then, the advantage he gave them beyond a sixth, where he gives them the limitation of all day versus the forever, that they don't see as being such a big deal or such a big advantage for them, because all day to them is the equivalent of eternity. On the other hand, the disadvantage that they gave them at this point, which is the fact that at a sixth, that there is all day to retract according to Rabbi Tarfon, and for the Chachamim, it's Kadesh Yireh L'Tagar L'Krovo, that disadvantage far outweighs the advantage he gave them above a sixth, all the way up to a third. And for that reason, Chazru, they went back on it. Now, the reason that is, Rashi states these two assumptions is one, what I explained before, that waiting for the whole day to be able to retract versus eternity are basically identical for them, because there's really not much of a difference. For them, waiting the whole day and having the right to retract is the equivalent of all forever, because most people have buyer's remorse within the first day. Number two assumption here is, yeter ashtut lo shchicha. The overcharging, the excess charge above a sixth, is very unusual. And therefore, there's less likelihood that advantage offered to them by Rabbi Tarfon above a sixth will come into play. The more likely scenario, or the likely cases, are a case of a sixth. And in that case, Rabbi Tarfon is a disadvantage. So now, what the Gemara shows now is that even though you could argue now that the Chachamim believe that Pachot Mishtut is Mechila La'alter, we could have still explained the issue with regards to Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim dealing with a Bava Shtut. And that's where their difference came up, where they first thought Rabbi Tarfon was to their advantage, and then they said he was to their disadvantage. But that will allow us to explain that less than a Shtut is Mechila La'alter according to the Chachamim. So now the Gemara has shown us that is a possibility of explaining the Chachamim in Pachot Mishtut. What the Gemara doesn't like at this point in time is that that locks us into saying above a shtut that the Chachamim say l'olam chuzer. Because at this point, in order to say that pachot mishtut, the Chachamim believe the altar is mechila, it's immediately a mechila, then we needed to explain the Chachamim's position above a shtut is that forever you can retract it, and that's what gave us the difference between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim's position. What the Gemara is now going to show us that is, even if you believe that less than a sixth is l'altar mechila, I can still explain above a sixth that the Chachamim believe that it's kadesh yireh l'tagar l'krovo, and that will give us then the possibility of all the permutations that are questioned over here as to what the position of the Chachamim is. And that's what the Gemara says here. Because if you believe the bitul mekach the rabbanon b'kadesh yireh l'tagar o l'krovo, if you think that the Chachamim believe that above a sixth, where there is bitul mekach, the buyer has a right to renege or retract the deal completely, that's only in a window of opportunity where he can show it to an expert or to his relative. But my samchu, why were they happy in the first place when Rabbi Tarfon offered them something above a sixth? Meaning for him, he's giving them the same window of opportunity, which is kadei shireh l'tagar odo krovo. Meaning that he's not offering them a bigger or smaller window of opportunity. He's offering them the same window of opportunity as the Chachamim in order to retract on the deal. Gemara says, bishtut atzma. There he did offer them a advantage with regards to the 1/6 itself. Dile Rabbi Tarfon mechila u'l'rabbonon ona'a. Because for Rabbi Tarfon, that would be classified as mechila, whereas for the Rabbonon, that would be classified as ona'a. So what the Gemara is now saying is that pachot mishtut for the Chachamim is mechila la'alter. Ona'a, which is 1/6 itself, that is kadesh yireh l'tagar o l'krovo. Above a sixth is also kadesh yireh l'tagar o l'krovo. Rabbi Tarfon comes along and says, well, the threshold is 1/3, not 1/6. So now, less than 1/6, Rabbi Tarfon agrees that it's classified as mechila. From a sixth until 1/3, he would also classify it as ona'a, as we described here, that from 1/6 all the way up to 1/3 is the equivalent of a shtut for the Chachamim, and he would classify that as ona'a as well. And you'd have the window of opportunity, kadesh yireh l'tagar o l'krovo, which is the same as the Chachamim, with the exception that it goes up all the way till in a third. But we've already discussed or shown that above a sixth is an unusual occurrence, and so that doesn't gain you so much advantage. The advantage that they gained over here is that at a shtut itself, at 1/6 exactly. At 1/6 exactly, the Chachamim believe that's ona'a, and you have kadesh yireh l'tagar l'krovo. On the other hand, for Rabbi Tarfon, 1/6 is the equivalent of pachot mishtut, less than a shtut for the Chachamim, and that means that it's mechila la'alter, immediate completion of the sale. And that's what they were excited about. Then Rabbi Tarfon comes back and tells them, no, when I said that, I meant all day that you have the right of retraction. Then that advantage in the shtut goes away, and they no longer wanted to be with Rabbi Tarfon, they wanted to go back to the Chachamim, which had that limited window of opportunity, kadesh yireh l'tagar u'l'krovo. And the advantage of having the shtut at shlish be called ona'a wasn't significant enough to them. Number one, because it's above a sixth. And number two, now because Rabbi Tarfon says you have all day to retract it, whereas the Chachamim above a sixth say it's only kadesh yireh l'tagar u'l'krovo. The only advantage he might have offered them is if it's called ona'a, then only the aggrieved party can retract, not both parties. That's not really an advantage, because the problem or the aggrieved party here is the buyer. And so in either case, the buyer is going to have a right of refusal or to retract the situation. So now what we've seen is that you can explain the Chachamim's position at less than a shtut being mechila la'alter, above a shtut being kadesh yireh l'tagar u'l'krovo, and yet we can still explain the disagreement between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon and why the Targum Elul first favored Rabbi Tarfon and later rejected him, because of the shtut itself. And now the Gemara has shown you that all permutations are possible. Now the Gemara backtracks and asks the question that we spoke about in the introduction, which is, Ibalu, bitel mekach the rabbanon, the olam chuzer, odim kadesh yireh l'tagar l'krovo. What is the situation, the story with regards to above a sixth? Is it that you have the right to retract the situation forever? Or is it only limited kadesh yireh l'tagar l'krovo? If you want to say b'kadesh yireh l'tagar l'krovo, ma'ika ben shtut, the yeter al shtut. Then what's the difference between 1/6, ona'a, and bitul mekach, which is above a sixth? Ika, dilu shtut, mishinat ane chuzer. When it comes to Onahar, the 1/6, the aggrieved party has the right to decide what happens. V'ilu yeter al shtut, when it's above a 1/6, shnehem chozrim, they both have a right to retract the sale or to annul the sale. And again, we mentioned before, because of what Tosafot says, that the price is so egregious that the sale is considered to be null and void. My, what is this story? Now, what the Gemara is going to do here, it seems, is to entertain possibilities similar to what it did before. The Gemara already went through and showed you that all those permutations are possible. Here, Rashi says that the Gemara has changed certain assumptions that it had before about the trade-offs that the Targay Lod are willing to make. And Rashi says that some of those discussions before, including separating out the shtut from below a shtut and from a shtut up to a third, when the Gemara made that assumption, Rashi calls that a shinua dechikahu. That's a very difficult answer. And therefore now the Gemara wants to play with that situation without making that assumption, without assuming that a shtut is different than pachot mishtut or from a shtut ad shtelish, and not saying that there are three different categories within Rabbi Tarfon. That's number one thing. Also, the trade-off between all day versus forever, in the previous scenarios in the Gemara, we assume that all day and forever were the same. In this section of the Gemara, they're going to suggest that all day is much better than forever. And therefore, there is an advantage in having it all day versus forever. So those two assumptions that we made in the previous Gemara now are not going to be accepted in this part of the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to entertain the possibilities without those assumptions in place. Now, what's important to remember over here is that the Rishonim really argue about the timing of this question and the first question of the Gemara. Were they asked at the same time? Were they presented at the same time or at different times? Why is the Gemara going back and seemingly discussing something it did already? Rashi explains the reason is because they're going to change the underlying assumptions they made in the first scenario. Some of those assumptions were a little difficult. So what we're going to do is erase those difficult discussions and assumptions and now see if we can come up with a different outcome or different possibilities. Whereas for other Rishonim, these two questions were happening simultaneously. And even though the Gemara presents them in succession, this is not the real order of the questions, but rather they were happening simultaneously. And therefore, even though the Gemara had a conclusion before, that's only after they presented both of the questions and moved through them in a synchronous manner. So now the Gemara says, what's the din? Tashma. Once again, we're going to look at Rabbi Tarfon versus the Chachamim. Chazru the Divrei Chachamim. They went back to this position of the Chachamim. Iyamart bishlama, if you say bitok mechach the rabbanan kadesh yareh le tagar lo krovo, that the amount of time that you have to retract the deal when it is above a 1/6 of overcharging is the amount of time that you have to show an expert or your relative, ula Rabbi Tarfon kol hayom. And Rabbi Tarfon in his final says that it's all day, shum hachi chazru. That's why they went back, or that's why they wanted to go back to the Chachamim's position. Because according to the Chachamim, above a 1/6, you had a limited window of opportunity to annul the sale, which was the amount of time to show it to an expert or a relative. Whereas for Rabbi Tarfon, you had all day. And then, Mikaro, what they thought was that when it came to a shtut, according to the Chachamim, that was ona'ah. Ona'ah kedei shiareh. Yeter al shtut was bitul mekach, but also limited kedei shiareh. When Rabbi Tarfon came along and said the threshold is really 1/3, their assumption was that at a shtut, at 1/6, it would be a mechila la'alter. It would be immediately completed transaction. And then above a 1/6, all the way up to a 1/3, that would be considered ona'ah, but only for the window of opportunity, kadei she'areh le'tagar le'krovo. So for them, Rabbi Tarfon offered them seemingly big advantages. At 1/6, he's saying that it's immediate transaction, versus the Chachamim who say that you have the window of opportunity, kadei she'areh le'tagar le'krovo. Above a 1/6, up to a 1/3, the Chachamim say it's bitul mekach kadei she'areh. And Rabbi Tarfon says that it is ona'ah until kadei she'areh. So he's giving them the advantage of it's considered ona'ah, not bitul mekach, above a 1/6. And at a 1/6 itself, he's giving them the advantage of an immediate transaction. Then he comes back and tells them, oh, I'm sorry, I really meant kol hayom, all day. Then he has disadvantaged them because above a 1/6, he's given the ability to back out of the deal, even though it's only ona'ah, for the entire day, versus the Chachamim, which are only in kadei she'areh. And even at a shtut, even at 1/6 itself, the Chachamim believe that it's Kadesh Yaren. And Rabbi Tarfon believes that it's Mechila L'Alter, so he's giving them an advantage. But what they're saying now is, HaBagam Yeter Al Shevach. The disadvantage is much greater than the advantage that you gave us. So here again is a breaking on every one of the assumptions that we had before, which was that above a shtut is not so common. Over here, what the Gemara is saying is that at a shtut, you have a big advantage with Rabbi Tarfon because the deal is automatically closed at a shtut. And for the Chachamim, that's classified as Ona'ah, and it's Kadesh Yareh. But once you move above a sixth, for the Chachamim, it's Bitul Mekach, but it's only in the window of Kadesh Yareh. For Rabbi Tarfon, all the way up to a third, it's considered to be Ona'ah, but you have all day to back out of it. So he's significantly disadvantaged them above a sixth, all the way up to a third, because he says you have all day to retract that transaction. Even though he's giving them an advantage at a sixth itself, to say that it's immediately completed the transaction, that doesn't make up for the fact that above a sixth, he has significantly disadvantaged them. And that's why they were Chazru, because they said we'd much rather have the Chachamim's position, which is Kadesh Yareh, all the way from a sixth and up, versus your position, which at a sixth gives us the advantage of immediate completion of the transaction, but above a sixth leaves us open or exposed for the entire day. That's because the case or possibility of it being a shtut, just 1/6, is very unusual. So then the Gemara says, because, Eliyamar, because if you took the other possibility, which is Bitul Mekach, the Rabbanan Leolam Chuzer, and for the Chachamim, you have the right of retraction forever, Amai Chazru, Bid Rabbi Tarfon Eichalu, Tvei. Why would they back away from Rabbi Tarfon? They'd be much more advantaged to follow the position of Rabbi Tarfon. The Kamishavidahu, Ona'ah, Koleyom. Because he makes it ona'ah all day, bit too long, and no more. So again, here's a breaking down of an assumption we made before, that all day is like eternity. Over here, if you say that the Chachamim believe that you always have a right of retraction or annulment of the sale, and Rabbi Tarfon limits it to kol hayom, why wouldn't they have stayed with Rabbi Tarfon? Because at a shtut, for the Chachamim, ona'ah is kadesh yareh the tagar, Ole Krovo. By Rabbi Tarfon, the Ona'ah at a shtut is kol hayom. That's all day. So that is a pagam katan. That is a slight disadvantage because over there, Rabbi Tarfon gives a wider window of reneging. But when you go above a shtut, the Chachamim say you have forever to retract the or annul the transaction. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon says that you only have that right from a shtut at shlish kol hayom. All day. And that's a much shorter window of opportunity. And there, the advantage is much greater. And that's why they would be happy. Because above a third, he locked the window down to a day versus forever. Even though he disadvantaged them slightly when it came to a sixth exactly, where he says it's kol hayom. And the Chachamim say, kadesh yareh l'tagar l'krovom. So the advantages far outweighed the disadvantage. And therefore, they would have stayed with Rabbi Tarfon rather than going back to the position of the Chachamim. The answer of the Gemara is, that's not compelling because Bitul Mekach lo shkiach. Bitul Mekach is a less common occurrence, meaning that overcharging an amount that, according to the Chachamim, would exceed a sixth, that situation is less common. Since it is less common, then the advantage offered by Rabbi Tarfon to say it's Hayom, and that's the end of the ability to know the transaction versus the Chachamim who say it's forever, that advantage of Rabbi Tarfon is very little because it doesn't happen so often. Whereas at a shtut, at exactly 1/6, where the tagrei lod are bikiin, and they can hit that number on the nose at 1/6, for them having the Chachamim say that it's kadesh yareh l'tagar l'krovo, which is a shorter window, versus Rabbi Tarfon says it's kol hayom, that advantage is much more proportionately advantageous to them versus the advantage granted to them by Rabbi Tarfon at above a sixth. And so therefore, they could believe that the Chachamim believe Lo'olam Chozer, and despite that fact, they would still have favored going back to the Chachamim because of their positions with regards to a sixth. The Chachamim say it's Kadesh Yareh L'Tagar L'Kvavo, because Rabbi Tarfon says it's Kol Hayom. And even though he gives them an advantage above that level is not common. And so for that reason, they wanted to go back to the Chachamim to get the advantage of 1/6, which is a more common case but the Chachamim gave me a shorter window of opportunity. So again, here, the Gemara presents you with that possibility that the Chachamim above the six can hold either Kadesh Yireh LeTagar LeKrovo or the Olam Chozer, even though we've scrapped a number of the assumptions we made in the first scenario. Still, you see, you can have them have either one of those two positions, and therefore the Gemara is left inconclusive about this as to what the position of the Chachamim is in Pachot Mishtut and above a Shtut. What is the limitation of time in which you can back out of the transaction or ask for a refund for the Ona'ah? Now, Amar Rava, Hilchata, the Locha is, Pachot Mishtut Nikne Meknechach. Less than 1/6, the transaction is sealed and done. Yeter al Shtut, more than 1/6, Bitul Mekach. The transaction is annulled. Shtut, when it comes to 1/6, Kana Umachzir Ona'ah. Then the transaction goes through, and you return the excess charge. Vizeh, and both of these are Kadesh Yireh LeTagar LeKrovo. And the way we're reading this is the latter two, meaning that the case where it's 1/6, or the case where it's above a sixth, the right either to demand a refund in the case of 1/6, or the right to annul the transaction when it is more than a sixth, that is the amount of time, or limited to the amount of time, where you show it to an expert or to your relatives to get a feeling for the proper market price. Mar says, Tanya Kavati de Rava. We have a braita that supports Rava. Now, the way that Rashi reads this, that Tanya Kavati de Rava, is that Rava, we're now going to bring a machloket Tanaim in the braita, and Rava's position is going to align with Rabbi Natan's position in the braita. As Rashi says over here, that generally when it comes to a position of Rabbi Natan, the Sfir Lake Rabbi Natan, the braita, the Kaimelan Ratan, Rabbi Natan, Dayonohu. Rabbi Natan is a dayan, v'nachid umka dedina, and he plumbs the depths of issues that deal with court and adjudication, and therefore we would paskan halacha like him. And therefore the Gemara brings this as a backing for Rova by saying that we paskan like Rabbi Natan, and now the braita, Rabbi Natan's position is akin to that of Rova, and that is Tanya Kavote de Rova, ona'a pachot mishtut nikneh. When it's ona less than 1/6, the transaction is complete, and there's nothing to do. Nikna mekach. Then the transaction is complete. Yeter al shtut, if it's more than 1/6, batel mekach. Then the transaction is unwound. It's annulled. Shtut, at 1/6, kana umachzir ona. Then the transaction goes through, and you refund the excess amount. Divrei Rabbi Natan. This is identical to what Rava said before. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer. Yad mocher al ha'elyona, that the seller's hand has the advantage over here. Rotzeh omer, if he wants to, he can say, tein li mikhi, give me back my merchandise, o tein li mashe aniti, or he can say, give me back the overcharging. Now, what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is saying, he only gave the example by the case of a mocher, but it's true of a buyer as well, as a lokeach as well, doesn't really matter. This is what we said before, that the aggrieved party, when the overcharging is 1/6, gets to make a choice. They can choose either to annul the transaction, or they can make a choice to keep the transaction and demand that the overcharging be repaid, or the undercharged amount be paid up by the buyer. And that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's disagreement with Rabbi Natan. And that obviously is different than Rava. And therefore we're aligning Rava with Rabbi Natan, who Rashi says the locha is like. And both of those options are available to you in the amount of time when you can show it to the tagar or to the karov in order to verify the pricing. So both of those, the ona and the bitul mekach, similar to Rabbi Natan, have that same window of opportunity in terms of demanding an annulment or a refund for the ona'ah. That's how Rashi explains this Gemara. The Balei HaTosafot, especially Rabbeinu Tam, are not happy with this. First of which is that whenever you have a machlok between Rabbi and another Tana, the locha is like Rabbi. We say Rabbi v'chaveiro, when it's a machlok between Rabbi and a single Tana, the locha ka Rabbi. But lo mi chaveira, but that's not true when he argues on the plurality or the many. Over here, he's only arguing on Rabbi Natan, the locha should be like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, number one. Number two is, before the Gemara already established that our Mishnah seems to be following the position of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. In addition to that, we have a Mishnah further on in the Masechta that says that the person who was aggrieved, Yadol El Yonah, All of these are an outcome or support the position of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So that's number one. Number two is, why would you bring a braita that has a machloket tanaim to say Tanya Kavate de Rova? That, oh, we have a machloket tanaim that supports Rova. Why would you do that? So the answer must be, which is that Rova is really saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So even though at first glance, it looks like Rava and Rabbi Natan are identical, what the Rabbeinu Tam points out is that that's not true. Because Rava himself sets up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and the Mishnayot later on seem to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and therefore what you have to say here is the word Kana for Rava is different than the word Kana for Rabbi Natan. Rava, who is just speaking in general, and in the context of our Mishnah, when he says Kana, he means like we would explain our Mishnah, which means that at a shtut, at 1/6, you get the choice. Either you can annul the transaction, or you can uphold the transaction and demand a refund. Whereas Rabbi Natan, who's found in the Braita, and is not in the context of the Mishnah, he has to make it clear when he says Kana, does Kana mean like what Rava just explained, or does Kana just literally mean, that's it, you're Kone and you only can get a refund. And therefore the Rabbeinu Tam explains the word Kana differently for Rava than he does for Rabbi Natan. And he says that Rava's position actually or really aligns with that of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And the reason that they brought this bright over here is, "Betanya kavatei mighty mishum daktani bebraita bezek kidei shire kidei Rava." That the reason they brought this down is because, like Rava, who said before, "Kidei shire le tagar uli krovo," that's what they bring the bright to uphold. And that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Natan agree about. So it's not they bring in the Braita to support Rava's position, either from Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, even though he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi according to Rabbeinu Tam, but rather to uphold Rava's window of opportunity for annulling the transaction to Kadesh Yerel Tagar Ule Krovo. And that's what the Braita supports in that position of Rava. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Nun Amud Bet.